Syrians and their capital Nineveh were the archenemies of his people Israel. And God had sent him to Nineveh as a prophet to exhort them to repentance. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the enemies of his people not be forgiven by God. He wanted to see retribution and judgment fall upon them, for that was the Assyrians and their capital Nineveh were the archenemies of his people Israel. And God had sent him to Nineveh as a prophet to exhort them to repentance. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. In other words, it took 3 days to walk across the city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried, saying, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. We've been talking in recent weeks on the subject of faith, and what faith is, and how faith acts, what we can expect as a result of faith, and how to take our own faith temperature, how to determine whether we're in faith or not, and the importance of faith in receiving any of the blessings of God. For nothing comes from God by promise unless it is received by faith. I didn't start out in the book of Jonah as I was preparing today's message. I wound up there. But I realized as I did that the Lord wanted to use this passage as a springboard for what he had shown me in other places in the New Testament. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning. I want to talk to us today about the subject of faith and about how it looks, how we can determine whether we're in faith or not, because in the Christian church, in spite of the fact that we've had so much teaching on the subject of faith, there is precious little of that really operating within the church other than as it relates to the new birth. There's lots of faith operating in the new birth, but there's not very much faith operating in the area of healing, prosperity, deliverance, family relationships, all the other kinds of things that the human condition has been attacked by the devil with. Now, what I want you to see from the story here of Jonah is I want you to see the reaction of the Ninevites. And I want you to see three things here. I want you to see in verse 5, in verse 7, and in verse 10, and I want you to look at the relationship between the three aspects of faith that are described here. First of all, verse 5 says, the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. Now, what did they do when they believed God? How was that faith expressed? They believed that God had actually sent Jonah. They believed that Jonah's message was correct. It was from God, that God was going to bring this judgment upon them. And they did something and to validate or to demonstrate their faith. Verse 7 says, the king and the nobles saying. You see that in the middle of verse 7? He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and the nobles saying. And so his faith sponsored his speech. Do you see it? What they believed caused them to say certain things. And then their words sponsored something else in verse 10. It says, and God saw their works. Now we see in this simple story from Jonah concerning the Ninevites that faith precedes and sponsors our words. Our words precede and sponsor our actions, and our actions precede and sponsor the receiving of the blessing of God. It's really that simple. And if you want to know what you are believing, listen to your words and watch your actions. If you're wanting to know what someone else is believing, listen to their words, watch their actions. So many of us have, we're believing God, or we think we're believing God for one thing or another, but we're not receiving it. Don't you want to know why? Boy, I do. I want to know why. I want to know that if God has promised something in His Word, if it's healing for the body, if it is deliverance for some confusion in my mind, if it is to set me free from some particular habit or propensity that I have, if it's a relationship circumstance, if it's a financial circumstance, whatever the situation is, if it's something that God has promised and I've asked Him for it and I'm not able to receive it, I want to know why. If God said it and it applies to me, and I don't have it, then there's something I'm not doing, and I'm not doing it right. And I believe the Word of God can straighten this out for us. Let's turn back to the book of James. We were here several weeks ago, I think, and the weeks kind of run together, and I don't remember exactly, but I know that we talked from this passage briefly on one of our recent occasions. James chapter 2. Say, Pastor Vic, I don't hear Christmas yet. I'm not done yet. I'm going to show you how important this is in God's scheme of things and how in every circumstance in which He works by faith, and He requires an expression on our part to validate our faith. All right? James chapter 2, beginning to read in verse 14. Familiar passage. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can his faith save him? Can his faith heal him? Can his faith deliver him? Can his faith prosper him? Can his faith receive any of the promised blessings of God? The answer is a rhetorical question, and the answer is obviously in the negative. If a brother or sister, for example, be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In the same manner, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. This is the problem, one of the problems we have with our faith. Our faith is alone. And lonely faith will not touch God. Lonely faith will not receive from God. It must be accompanied. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works, my deeds, my actions. Release my faith and validate what I believe. Let me give you a hypothetical example. You're a husband. You have a wife whom you love very much. Your wife is seriously, seriously ill. The doctors say she has 3 weeks to live, let's say. And your declaration is, I'm believing God for his healing, her healing. I'm believing God that she's not going to die from this. I'm believing God. My faith says she will survive. But you go to your desk and you pull out of your box of papers the deed to your cemetery plot. What do you really believe? You're making preparations, aren't you? Aren't you? James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, I'm not receiving the doctor's report. She's not going to die. But where's, do we own a cemetery plot? And what's the circumstances there? And so on. Sweetheart, you're not dying and we're believing God and the pastor's anointed you with oil. But do you prefer a wood casket or a metal one? We laugh at this. But I'm telling you, this is going on day after day after day among spirit-filled, faith-walking Christians. And this is not to denigrate or diminish anyone. It is simply to make the point that if our words and our actions do not validate our faith, validate what it is that we think we believe, then let's look not at what we think we believe, but let's look at what we are actually saying and what we're actually doing, and then we will know what we believe. How would you feel if that husband who's about to lose his wife and is checking out the cemetery were to come to you and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for my wife. The doctor's reports are, we're believing God that she's not going to die. Now that pastor can pray his heart out. But we've got the deed to the cemetery plot laying on the coffee table. You know, the devils also believe in healing. The devils believe in prosperity. They know what God's promises are, but they don't receive any of them. Verse 19, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, here come some examples, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith worked together or wrought with his works, and by his works his faith was made perfect. It was completed or consummated. Now, let me put the nail in this if I can. Turn back with me to Genesis 22 and let's look at that specific passage of Scripture. I want you to see something here. Genesis 22. This is the place where God had instructed Abraham to take his only son Isaac to the mountain and there to offer him as a sacrifice. Now remember, Abraham had been promised that he would be the father of many nations and that his posterity would come through Isaac. And he knew that if he sacrificed Isaac, that God would have to raise him from the dead, according to Hebrews chapter 11, in order to bring his promise to pass. But yet he believed that God would do that if necessary. Now after Abraham and Isaac had gone to the mountain and he had bound him to the altar and raised the knife over him, ready to plunge it into his heart and take his life, and you'll remember the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, stop, and here's a ram over here, and so on and so forth, and Isaac is loosed. I want you to watch this. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, that is the angel, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only Son from me. Everybody say, now I know.
Now I know.
Now I know. Now I know. Now I know. Because I watched you, Abraham, with the knife poised above your son's breast. And I saw in your heart your willingness to plunge it down and take his life. Now I know, because I've observed your action, I know what you believe. Now, it's precisely that way with you and me. I believe God would say, now I know. I can say as a pastor, can't you, brother, on situations like this? You could say, now I know what you're believing. So the husband who is praying for his wife and not receiving that she is deathbound, but is checking out funeral arrangements, could you say, now I know? You know exactly what's being believed there, don't you? Exactly what's being believed. Faith sponsors our words, words sponsor our actions, and actions sponsor what we receive from God. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled. I'm back in James 2 again. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, by works a man is healed, by works a man is prospered, by works a man is delivered, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Pastor Vic, I thought you had a Christmas message. Hang on. Let's go to Luke 1. Well, I guess we're getting closer to Christmas anyway. Jonah, James, Genesis, and now Luke. Maybe we're going to get some Christmas after all. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Mary was a young Jewish woman, girl actually, teenage girl. Most of us, I think all of us, remember the Christmas story from old, how Gabriel came and brought the message and spoke to Mary, and we think that all of this just kind of occurred automatically because God said it would. But I want to show you today that that's not what happened. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. Everybody say virgin.
Virgin.
You know why it's important to you that you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? You know that doctrine has been under attack for centuries. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, then he was born with the sin of Adam in him. Let me say that again. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, then he was born naturally by a man, and that man carried the sin of Adam in his loins, didn't he? And so Jesus would not have been a sinless baby. He would have been born just like you and just like me with the stain of the first Adam upon him, and he never would have been able to go to the cross and sacrifice sinless blood on your behalf and mine. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, if Mary's pregnancy was naturally caused, then you're still in your sins. Are you listening? Yeah. Now, you'll hear some say, well, you know, I believe Jesus, Son of God and all that, but this virgin birth thing, that doesn't make any difference. Oh, yes, it does. It's a central, essential truth, just like the resurrection. So you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not going in yours, because your resurrection, you see, is going to be a resurrection of the damned rather than a resurrection of the just. A virgin. Everybody say virgin. Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Wouldn't you be too? Angels don't show up every day of the week. And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. Do you ever wonder why Mary was so favored? Was it because she was pretty? Because she was Jewish? It was something inside Mary that made her favored of God and prepared to receive this implant in her womb. We'll see it in just a moment. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. In other words, the child of God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Somebody say hallelujah. We are citizens of a kingdom that's never going to end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now some read that and say, well, Mary was full of doubt. I don't read it that way. I'll tell you why I don't read it that way. If I back up to verse 18 in the same chapter, remember that the first chapter of Luke also records an announcement to a priest by the name of Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth in their old age would bring forth a son. That child was John the Baptist. Now that child was born naturally, Zacharias and Elizabeth. But when Zacharias heard the message and heard the announcement that he and his wife would have a child in his old age, verse 18, Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Notice how the angel responded here. The angel answered unto him and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You ever wonder why the angel shut Zacharias' mouth? Because he's just going to get himself in a whole lot of trouble, wasn't he? And what he was going to do is he was going to lose this wonderful miracle because of his talk. You don't believe me. Therefore, I'm going to shut you out so you cannot lose what God wants to give you. Oh, I believe that'd be a good thing for God to do to many of us. Just shut us up. Because with our mouth, we write checks for tomorrow. What we receive tomorrow is what we wrote checks for yesterday. What we're receiving today is what we wrote checks for yesterday. Now notice, he didn't say that to Mary. He did not make her dumb. Now that tells me that what's in her heart, same angel, same message. But in one case, you're full of doubt, I'm going to shut you up. In the other case, he answers her question, because her question was not whether it was going to happen, but in what way. Now listen to what I just said. Zacharias says, it's impossible. We're old. Shut your mouth. Mary said, how will this occur? Since I don't know a man. It's not whether it's going to happen, but how are you going to do it? I mean, it's a reasonable question. I don't doubt that it will. We're going to see that a little bit later here. But how are you going to do it? Okay. Now, if it had been doubt expressed, Mary would have got her mouth shut. Cool. But she didn't. And so the angel answered this question and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power, who is the Holy Ghost? Who's the Holy Ghost? God, the Spirit of God. And so God is the Father. isn't he? And so Jesus is the Son of God by the Father, and he's the Son of Man by the Mother. You got that? So he is fully God. When a baby's born, you get a full set of chromosomes from the dad. You get a full set. Any geneticists in here? Geneticists, thank you. You get a full set of whatever it is, genes, I guess, from the daddy. You get a full set from the mommy, and the combination of the two makes you fully your daddy and fully your mommy. So Jesus is fully God, and he is fully man. He's everything God is, and he's everything man is. Now, man, that has bent a lot of minds for 2,000 years. How can that possibly be? It shouldn't be hard for us to see. We see it naturally. You got them run around your house. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and he is the one that is going to impregnate you. He will overshadow thee, possess thee, in other words. Therefore, also that holy thing, how could it be called a holy thing? Because it's sinless, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the what? The Son of God, because the Father is God, the Holy Spirit. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, this is how it's going to happen, Mary. And behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. You ever notice how God uses families in ministry? Yeah. He did here too. Most people don't realize that John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. They were related. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, oh, this is impossible. No. Well, Mary said, this has never happened again. I don't believe it'll happen to me. She didn't say that because Mary was a special gal. She was favored of God. Remember what faith does? Faith speaks. And the speech then precedes the action. The action brings the promise. And so here's Mary. What does she say? She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The angel departed. Mission accomplished. Amen. So her faith said, I receive what you said. Now,
that was when she conceived.
Yes.
I'm
absolutely sure that that's exactly what happened right there. When her faith was released, that's when she got it. And it's my judgment, my considered judgment. Had she answered differently, we would not be talking about Mary today. We'd be talking about Judy. Amen? Or Janie. Or Deborah, or some other Jewish girl, but not Mary. And Mary arose in those days after she spoke these words. Then what does she do? She goes to see her cousin to tell her all about it. Now, if you're reading this, you know exactly what Mary believed, don't you? Because you can see it in her works. She declares to the angel, then she runs to Elizabeth's house. And she tells her all about it, stays there a while. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out, you know, Tracy's carrying a package inside her womb. You know, Tracy's listening to what I'm saying, or Tracy's baby's listening to what I'm saying today. Anybody else in here carrying? Yeah, of course, Wendy. Of course. Wendy's baby's listening to this. So, Pastor Vic, you are nuts. I'm just nuts enough to believe that what's in those wombs is a living spirit. This case, John the Baptist, he's in the womb. He comes into the presence of God himself. And that little baby had never drawn breath. He begins to jump up and down on the inside of his mama. Tell me an unborn child is just a piece of fetal tissue, product of conception, POC. Tell me that an unborn baby is not a spiritual being that can be developed spiritually. And should be. Should be. We should be reading the Word of God to them. We should be singing to them. We should be praying over them. We should be believing God for them. Should be ministering to them the minute we know they're there. So Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, here comes prophecy. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. I love this. And blessed is she, watch this, Elizabeth now is speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost. She's prophesying here. And blessed is she that believed. For. I'm going to put another preposition in there, and I'm going to say because. Blessed is she that believed, because there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Believe, speak, act, receive. Boy, it is that clear and it's that simple. It shouldn't be that complicated for us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we also believe, therefore we speak. And Mary said, oh, I love this part. This passage from 46 on is known by the Catholics. Anybody in here former Catholic, Roman Catholic? Several of you. You're familiar with the Magnificat, Mary's song? This is the Magnificat. This is Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate, etc., etc., etc. And she goes on to praise God and bless him and so on. Now, I notice something in verse 46 and 47. Mary talks about her soul, her mind, her intellect, her emotions, and her feelings. And she talks about her spirit, the hidden man of the heart. And she says that emotionally, she is presently engaged. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And the reason my soul doth magnify the Lord is because my spirit previously believed God and received what he had and rejoiced in his promises. Therefore, I am moving in soulish delight and praise and worship. I like the sequence. Now, is that Christmassy enough? Yeah. Now, it's not very smaltzy. I understand that. I like smaltz just like Pastor John does. And it's not very smaltzy. But I tell you what, if you and I can get a hold of this, if we will watch what we're doing and if we will listen to what we're saying and judge ourselves, let's not be too quick to judge one another. We got to judge ourselves first. But if we will simply judge ourselves on the basis of the examples and the principles and the precepts that are clearly laid out in the Scripture, I believe we can walk in a whole lot more faith than most of us have experienced. But what we do is we lie to ourselves and we deceive ourselves and we try to deceive others. And we think that if we can get the pastor to agree, then we can soothe our own conscience because our heart knows that we're not really believing. You've been there, haven't you? Pastor, I'm really believing this. This go on and on and on and on and on and on. It's obvious that there's no rest, there's no peace, there's no faith flowing. Now, let's just jump over a couple of chapters to the 6th chapter of Luke, and let's wrap up here. Don't you like it when a pastor says in summary? You know that when he says, finally now, brethren, or in conclusion, you know we're good for another 30 minutes. Verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Luke 6:43. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. And I've got to say to you that you can tell what kind of a tree you are, whether you're a faith tree or a doubt tree, with regard to any individual situation, if you will simply examine the fruit. And you examine the fruit of your speech and your actions. For every tree is known by his own fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, oh boy, there it is again. I'm believing God for the salvation of my husband. I know that my husband is going to be saved. Do you know a good divorce attorney in case I need him? Mom, do you have my room available in case I have to come home? I know God's going to touch his life. I know it's going to be all right. But kids, pray for your dad. He's really treating me miserable. It's really getting harder and harder and harder. I know it's going to be okay, but it's getting tough. It's really getting hard. What are we trying to do? We're trying to talk ourselves into leaving and making it okay. Verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, what follows is a very familiar analogy that Jesus uses, but I would like to relate it to what we're sharing today. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Fortunately, we can change what we've been doing, but unfortunately, some of what we've been doing has not been the Word of God. For Jesus said that if we will hear the Word and do it, that we can establish a life that is so strongly anchored and so firmly bound that no matter what comes against it, "Oh, but Pastor, you do not know what has happened in my life." No, I don't want to know. I don't know and I don't need to know. I only need to know what he said. "Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts to be right, and I hate every false way." "But Pastor, there are only three other people in the world that have this disease." You ever heard that one? "The doctor says he's never seen a case as bad as mine." Way to go, devil. You're really doing a great work, devil. Let's magnify you. Hallelujah, Satan. Great work you're doing. Great work. You brought this rare disease. Jesus said, if we will hear what he says and do it, that we can so establish a life that no matter what happens or what comes against us, shoot your best shot, Satan. You cannot put me down because my house, my life is firmly established on the Word of God. I'm not going down, you are. Amen. Whether it has to do with physical things, emotional things, relationship things, financial things, God makes no exception, for with God all things are possible. Amen. On the other hand, we go to church, we hear, "Oh, Didn't Pastor Vic preach a good one today? Didn't Pastor John really turn that pulpit into something this morning? We walk out, but we don't do it. We heard it, tickled our ears. Boy, that was really good. You ought to come to our church and hear our preacher preach. But we're not doers of the word. What we're doing is we're building our house not on a solid foundation, but on a foundation that is easily shaken by whatever comes against us. And the first time we get sick, we can't handle it. The first time we have a problem with one of the kids, we can't handle it. As long as everything goes well, gosh, we're happy Christians. We're dancing, we're singing hallelujah, we're shouting, we're lifting our hands, we're testifying and telling everybody how great Jesus is. But the first time something happens that is negative, it just sends us for a loop. And because we're not doers, the faith that we talk about doesn't work for us. Then we get discouraged. Then we go to one of those churches where they don't preach faith so strong. Where they don't preach faith all the time. I don't know what else to preach, other than what the Word of God says. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I'm very much interested in our learning how to make that faith active in our lives and make it work. I want to see marriages work. I want to see marriages last. I want to see children raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want to see Christians be healthy. I want to see them prosper. I want to see them free from oppression. I want to see them free from secret sins. I want to see them conquering in life. We're more than conquerors through Him. But only if we believe what He said. Not just because He said it. Only if we believe. Abraham's an example. Rahab's an example. And Mary is an example. Christmas message on faith. Hey, we can preach faith on any part of the Scripture, can't we, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, let's have everybody stand, shall we? So what did we learn today? Faith sponsors our speech. Our speech sponsors our actions. And our actions receive the promises of God. Okay? Let's remember that.